Shall we pray? Almighty God, our Father, there's so much that you have for us, O God. So much that we need to discover by the Spirit in the name of Jesus, Lord. Father God, we pray that you will open our hearts, open our imaginations to the understanding of your word. Let your word come alive in us, Lord. Let your word come alive in us in the spirit and life of Jesus. Let your word be established in us in the faith of Jesus. Let your word be brought to fulfillment in us in the love of Jesus. Let your word, O God, bring forth, O God, a new creation within us, O God, that we may understand things as you speak them into our lives, that we may see things as you see them, O God, that we may understand your purposes, O God, as those purposes stand, O God, in the glory of your majesty, Lord. We pray that we will come to be a people who will know you and love you and become chosen instruments of the living God. O God, we want prophetic expression to flow out of our being, O God, from the Holy of Holies, Lord. We pray that such a position you will bring each one of us to and into, Father. As we stand as sons, O Lord, before you today, Father, both male and female, Lord, that we will realize, O God, what you are able to do with us because you are Yahweh Elohim, the Creator God, because you are Yahweh Hoshenu, the Lord God who is our Maker. That in the fullness of the Son you mean to create us, in the fullness of the Son you mean to enable us to function by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of the Son you mean to establish us in positions before you, Lord. And it is something that stands in your righteousness. It is something that has been given to us in the merits of the Lamb. It is something, O God, that is the workmanship of the living God. Enable us, O God, to be transformed in our thought processes so that we may become the people you want us to become. Enabled entirely in the glory of your grace, enabled entirely in the realities that are brought to life in us in the faith and love of Jesus. Father, open our hearts with understanding. Enable us to see, enable us to know, enable us to perceive, O God, what you have for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have been on the subject of prophetic expression. There's echo. I just want to talk of prophetic expression as God has designed it to be for each one of us in the Holy of Holies because we are sons of God. It's very important to think like that. It's very important to understand that we are called sons of God not on the basis of theology, but on basis of the word that God means to perform in our lives. So if you look at Romans chapter 8, from verse 28 to verse 30, God tells us a few things in very categoric terms. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 to 30. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good. God causes all things to work. God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Since this passage is available to every one of us, you need to understand that you are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Very important to understand this. This verse 30 is extremely important to our thinking process. Because so many of us are trapped in our minds in trying to present ourselves in our own merits before God. And God is not talking about our merits. He's talking about what he is able to do. We are no longer a people confined under the law. We are a people who are being brought forth in the reality of grace that stands in the faith and love of Jesus, the faith and love of Jesus that has fulfilled the law, the faith and love of Jesus that God has given us so that we can become justified on the basis of his righteousness and not justified because we are a bunch of good guys. We are not justified because we are a bunch of holy mollies. We are justified because we have chosen to respond to the finished work of the cross. We are justified because God is at work in our hearts. We are justified because God has called us, because God has foreknown us, because God has predestined us, because we are to be conformed to the image of His Son, because God is at work in us, because God is justifying us in His faith, and God means to glorify us in the glory of the Son. We are the workmanship of God created in Christ Jesus for the good works. This is the basis of prophetic expression in each and every one of us. Now that doesn't mean we gloss over our sinful ways. We have to address our sinful ways, but we don't sit down and become mired in our sinful ways. We have to understand that God is at work. We have to bring our sin to be addressed by God, and we have to ask God to deal with us as He sees fit. But we are meant to understand that what God has ordained for us is something that is of His righteousness. And we are called to respond to the finished work of the cross. We are called to respond to what God has given us. Now, with this background, I want to talk to you about what God wants us to stand in the Holy of Holies. All right? Because that's where we stand. That's what your spirit man is designed to enable you to stand in. So in Hebrews chapter 9, we have a description in symbolic forms or in prophetic form of what God has given us in His righteousness. And behind the second veil, there was a tabernacle which is called the Holy of Holies, having a golden altar of incense. The Ark of the Covenant covered on all sides with gold, in which was a golden jar holding the manna and Aaron's rod which budded, and the tables of the covenant. There are three things that are a prophetic expression that is personal to each one of us. The jar of manna, which is the word of God that God wants to give us. Aaron's rod which budded, which is the functional dimension of what God has bequeathed to us by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. And the tables of the covenant, which represent the tablets of our heart that are to be manifested in the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. But there is a key here that he gives in verse 4. And it says, having a golden altar of incense. For this position in the Holy of Holies to become a prophetic reality in our lives, we need to understand that it is based, entry into that position is entirely based on the altar of incense. And the altar of incense is the Jesus whom your heart expresses as a fragrance. That's why we worship God. We worship God because it is an opportunity for us to give expression to the fragrance of Jesus Christ within us. It's an opportunity for us to express our faith in Jesus Christ. It's an opportunity for us to express our love for Jesus Christ. It is an opportunity for us by the Holy Spirit to give expression to the fragrance of Jesus Christ, because the fragrance of Jesus Christ opens us to a position that God has ordained in His righteousness for us. The fragrance of Jesus Christ is the result of our response to what God has given us in the cross of Jesus. The fragrance of Jesus Christ is the sum total of our response to what God has given us on the cross. So if you go to the outer court, you will find that there was a brazen altar, and the outer court represents the cross of Jesus Christ. It represents the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The holy place has a table of showbread, which is the bread of the presence. It has a candlestand, which is the anointing of the Lord by the Spirit in the fullness of Jesus Christ, that is meant to be perfected within us. And then we find the third piece of furniture, which is the altar of incense, which in this verse God puts in the Holy of Holies. So this altar of incense is the sum total of everything else that stands before it, from the outer court into the holy place. Finally, everything, the anointings that we carry, the giftings that we carry, all are represented in the altar of incense. And the altar of incense is what gives prophetic expression for us into what God has given us as sons of God. We are justified in the fragrance of Jesus Christ alive in our hearts. We are justified on the basis of what we have received in the love of God in giving us His Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God is love. What does God is love mean? God is love is communicated to us in the only begotten Son. And the only begotten Son is meant to be manifested from the altars of our heart as a living incense, a living fragrance, a living expression of the life we have received from God. And that fragrance gives us access into what God has ordained for us as sons of God. Because we will never be sons of God out of the Holy of Holies. That is where God's prophetic word is meant to find fruition. Manna, meaning the word of God that stands according to the name of God. Let's turn to a verse, all right? Psalm 138. Verse 2. For thou hast magnified thy word according to all thy name. When God magnifies his word according to all of his name, and when that has been achieved in your heart, that is the fragrance of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the Word of God. Because Jesus Christ is the Word of God. Amen? Jesus Christ is the Word of God. And when God says, I have magnified my Word according to all of my name, God is talking about what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. What Jesus Christ has accomplished for us, that the Holy Spirit has brought alive inside our hearts as a fragrance. This is the word that is called the word of the oath. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 28. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 28. For the law appoints men as high priests. And the essential function of the high priest was to go into the Holy of Holies once a year. But we have a high priest who has a ministry that will manifest every one of us in the Holy of Holies in God's will at the speed of thought. Hello. In God's will at the speed of thought. For the law appoints men as high priests who are weak, but the word of the oath, the word that stands glorified in accordance with God's own name. God's name is manifested in Jesus Christ. John 17 verse 6. The word of the oath which came after the law. The word of the oath that stands in the fulfillment of the law. The word of the oath that comes alive in us in the nature and character of Jesus Christ. The word of the oath that brings into us an understanding birthed out of the testimony of Jesus. The word of the oath that is entirely described in the spirit and life of Jesus. The word of the oath that stands established in the faith of Jesus. The word of the oath that is the fulfillment of the love of Jesus that has been expressed in our hearts into a living fragrance that enables us to enter into the Holy of Holies. It is the way. It is the way. It is the truth. It is the life. It is the creative reality that makes us sons of God. And this entire reality is based on what God is able to do with you and me. The word of the oath which came after the law appoints a son made perfect forever. Where is he meant to be made perfect forever? In your heart and my heart. And if the son is alive in your heart, you are perfect in the sight of God. If the Son is alive in your heart, you are perfect before God. This is not perfection by the law. This is not perfection measured by how many hours you can pray. This is perfection that is manifested in the Jesus who lives in you, and He just grew on you. Grace upon grace. For of His fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized. How does grace and truth come? Grace and truth were realized. Were realized. Why? Because it was predestined that we would all have the capacity to realize. How difficult it is to realize that Jesus Christ is everything? It's not difficult. Perfection is not difficult. It is because we have a thinking process that has been built on the law that we look at things like that and we say, oh Lord, this is not for me. Because we immediately look at the litany of our weaknesses, and we look at all the impossible things that stand in our weaknesses, and we say, this is not for me. And God is saying, this is not about you, this is about me coming alive in you. That's why you are baptized into Christ and into His death. Why are you baptized into Christ? Why are you immersed into Christ? Why are you immersed into His death? Why are you immersed into His death? Because in His death He gave you a faith and a love that you don't have. In His death He expressed a character and nature entirely for you that you don't have. And that character and that nature of Jesus Christ is absolutely perfect. If God is able by His Spirit to bring that character and nature, that faith and that love into you and me, we can be perfect. How difficult is it? How difficult is it? Of His fullness we have all received. All. Grace upon grace. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 14 says that grace is based on the faith and love that are found in Jesus Christ. So whose grace, what grace is God talking about? The grace that stands in the faith and love of Jesus Christ for you and me. The faith and love of Jesus Christ that makes the cross of Jesus a finished work. A perfect faith, a perfect love. A faith and a love that has got nothing lacking in it. So being perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect is not about an impossibility from our standpoint. It is about a practical reality that God achieves because He is omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent, and nothing is impossible with Him. So the altar of incense is about God's achievement of love in your life. He gave us His Spirit so that His Spirit would unveil Jesus Christ inside our hearts. The essential and primary ministry of the Holy Spirit is to manifest the fragrance of the Son within you. Because if He's manifested the fragrance of the Son within you, the fragrance of the Son will enable you to do all things. Can you stand in the Holy of Holies? Yes. When we worshiped the Lord just now, did we stand in the Holy of Holies as a whole church? Yes, we did. Was it because we were all wonderful guys? No, it was not. What was it based on? It was based on the key of David, God's love. We responded to that love, and the key of David opened the door, and we went into the Holy of Holies. Based on what? Based on the fact that we were worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. Based on the fact that we are lifting up the name of Jesus. That's all. Was it based on 40 days and 40 nights of fasting? It was not. Was it based on justification under the law? It was not. What was it based on? It was based on the fulfillment of the law and the prophets and the love of God for us. God has opened a door. God has given us a key, the key of David, and He says, use it so that you can come into My presence and be the kind of people I want you to be. But what we need to understand, that entry into the Holy of Holies has the intent of making us living and functioning sons of God, both male and female, both Jew and Gentile. The importance is whether you can produce that worship when you're out in the street. When you are faced with situations and circumstances that are filled with darkness, can you bow before God at the speed of thought? And can you enter the Holy of Holies? And can you express the prophetic of God's wonder from the tablets of your heart? So this word that God has given you, this word of the oath, is meant to be expressed in two tables of the covenant in your heart. Why two tables? Because those two tablets represent the law and the prophets, the fulfillment of the law and the prophets, the fulfillment of the law so that we will not be a lawless people, the fulfillment of the prophets because we are a people of promise. The Holy Spirit has been given to us as the Spirit of promise. He has been given to us as a pledge. The scripture is right. So that everything is yes and amen in the name of Jesus. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. Not 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 20 to 22. For as many as may be the promises of God, in Him they are yes. Hello? In Him they are yes. In Him they are yes. When is it yes? When your heart is alive to the fragrance of Jesus Christ in that reality of the promise. As a father, can you stand over your family and say that my generations will become nations? They are yes and amen if you can do that in the fragrance of Jesus Christ. Wherefore also by Him is our amen to the glory of God through us. Why through us? Very important. To the glory of God through us. The glory of God is meant to be tested and proven through us. That is our destiny. That's why we are called sons of God. What is our function in eternity? To give expression to the glory of God from our lives, in all that we become, in all that we do, in thought, word, and in deed. That is the purpose that we have. And all those three symbolisms in the Holy of Holies that were put in the Ark of the Covenant, the jar of manna, the word that is meant to be the hidden manna of God's name, the word that is meant to reveal all that stands in accordance with the name of God. The word that is meant to become hearts of flesh that will express a covenant oath inside of you. That will enable you to function with the rod of Aaron. So that everything is yes and amen. Do you understand? This is God's plan and design for you and me. Wherefore also by Him is our amen. By Him. So when we have a heart that is manifested in the fragrance of Jesus Christ, we are functioning by Jesus Christ. That's all. It's not hard. Wherefore also by Him is our amen. To the glory of God. That amen is always to the glory of God through us. Now He who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God. It is God who makes us one body. It is God who gives us a functional position in the body of Christ. We are not just individuals who stand alone. In verse 22, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. Whose pledge? God's pledge. So the Holy Spirit in the book of Ephesians, let's turn to that. Ephesians chapter 1, He is called the Spirit of promise. Ephesians. Chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. In Him, that is in Jesus Christ, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise. Why? So that every promise will become yes and amen in your life. Hello, God has designed you with that intent.
God has predestined you with that functional intent, that every promise would be yes and amen by the Spirit in Christ Jesus from you, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance. You see, it is an inheritance. It is not something you have to earn. It is not based on a meritocracy. So often we rule ourselves out by comparing ourselves with other Christians. I can't pray like him, therefore I cannot stand where I should stand. Rubbish. The enablement to pray comes from God. The enablement to pray that comes from self means absolutely nothing before God. I will repeat that. It means absolutely nothing before God. The prayer dimension that comes out of sheer willpower means absolutely nothing before God. It is that which is manifested in the spirit and life of Jesus that God recognizes. So don't be impressed by holy mollies. They're just full of themselves. God is concerned with whether you're full of Jesus. That's all. No other name impresses him. Everything you know, you do in the name of Jesus is a blessing. So verse 14 again. Who is given as a pledge of our inheritance. Remember, it's an inheritance. With a view to the redemption of God's own possession. That's why belief is the righteousness of God. If you believe God has given you something, if you're willing to move to in that belief and live in that belief, it is regarded as righteousness. Whose righteousness? You are locking in into the righteousness of God. You're locking in into the work of God. You're not locking in to what you can work hard at. The things you work hard for, even if you clothe them with a lot of spiritual language, ultimately passes away. Only God is eternal, guys. That's basic, fundamental Christian theology. Huh? The abiding and the eternal is entirely something that comes out of God. It doesn't come out of the creation. The creation has got no capacity to stand in eternity. It does not have it. Life flows from God. And that which flows from God gives life. That which does not flow from God means nothing. It is just existent in space and time. It will pass away. Don't live in that reality. It's a worthless reality. It's a meaningless reality. So who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory? Listen, he's talking about promise and he's talking about redemption. We are brought out as a people of promise, able to stand in the promises of God out of this process called redemption. You are redeemed to stand in your position. Hello. You are redeemed to be sons of God. You are redeemed to become a people of promise. You are redeemed to stand where God wants you to stand. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, God introduces the word of the cross. In verse 18, he says, "For the word of the cross," I'm reading from the New American Standard, "for the logos of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." So the word of the cross is the power of God. What is the power of God? The power of God to make you perfect. The power of God to make you sons of God. The power of God to make you a people of promise. The power of God to make you stand in the faith and love of Jesus. The power of God to make you stand in the character and nature of Jesus. The power of God to make you manifested in the spirit and life of Jesus. The power of God to manifest you as a brand new creation. For you are created in Christ Jesus for the good works that the Father has ordained. You are the workmanship of God, it is written. Verse 23, "We preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block and to Gentiles utter foolishness. But to those whom he called, Amen. But to those who are called, to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ crucified, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Now look at verse 30. But by his doing you are in Christ Jesus. This is the work of the Father, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And redemption, being totally set free, becoming creatures of promise, becoming creatures of destiny, becoming functioning kings, becoming functioning sons of God. So when you read scripture, when you pray for things in the Lord, for heaven's sake, stop being confined to the mediocrity of the things of the world. 90% of what we pray for is absolute junk. We are looking for worms when we should be flying as eagles. We are so concerned with what the world is doing to us. And the Lord said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek the kingdom of God, and all these things will come. It is already written that you are meant to be the head and not the tail. How many things has God got to give you before you can see all these things? Why did Jesus come to die for you? Why did he come to express his faith, his love, his character, his nature on the cross for you? To make you look like what we are looking like right now? Or to make us look like morning stars? Sons of the Most High God, standing in heavenly places, able to bless entire nations in righteousness and holiness of the truth. What is it that he went to the cross to do? What is this power of God? What is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe in him? What is this power that manifests the hand of God in righteousness into our lives? What is this power that manifests the impossible into your reality and my reality? What is this power that God is talking about that is designed to redeem us completely? How do we become perfect, brethren? By a process of redemption. How do we stand in the Holy of Holies? As a process of redemption. But you have to choose to respond to the righteousness of God. You need to express from your heart the willingness to become holy unto God. The process of making you holy is God's work. But the willingness to be holy, you have to bring it out of your heart. And if there is something inside of you that says, I don't want this, take that to the Lord too, so that he can deal with it. So can we become sons of God? Can we function as sons of God? Absolutely yes and amen. Don't look at it from your viewpoint. Look at it from the viewpoint of God. Look at it from the viewpoint of God's word, because God's word stands in an oath. His oath, not your oath. In the old covenant under the law, they swore oaths, most of which they never kept. And those that they kept were just superficial. If you go back to the Old Testament, you will find that people swore oaths. And none of those oaths really stood the test of time. So in the new covenant, God swore an oath. That's why the new covenant works. Because God has sworn an oath. And it's a personal oath. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it is a personal oath that God has sworn into your life. So go after what God has given you. Open your heart, understand the scriptures. So what is prophetic expression? Allowing what God has given you to come forth as a reality, as a creative reality within you. Not to be stuck with what you see around you, with what other people are doing. Not to judge things by human standards. But to see and understand that the scripture is about the workmanship of God. It's not about human mediocrity.
Took me a long time to understand that. But when I first became a Christian and I started reading the scriptures, I told the Lord, how on earth is someone like me with so many character flaws ever going to make this grade? I said, Lord, I know you have called me, but I will never be able to stand where you have called me because it is impossible for me to stand there. And then slowly but surely, God started showing me that it was all about what he could do with me rather than what I could do with myself. And I said, if that is what it's all about, I'm here, Lord. And when I have fallen and when I have made stupid choices and I have made silly choices in life, God has picked up the pieces and he's put it back together. So listen to what God is saying. Salvation is the work of God, 100% the work of God. We have made it our work. That's why it is so difficult. Huh? That's why so many of us look as if we are carrying the whole world's problems around us. That's why we cannot rest. That's why we have so many fears in our lives. We don't have eternity flowing in our hearts. We are afraid of death. We are afraid of the opinions of man who are here today and gone tomorrow. Our lives are traumatized by what man does. And God is trying to say the only thing that matters in life in eternity is what I do. So the Word of God is a very powerful reality. The Word of God brought into you by the Holy Spirit. The Word of God that gives expression to the fragrance of Jesus Christ from your heart will transfigure you, guys. Nothing will be impossible to you. It is not hard. If it is hard, you're doing it the wrong way. If it's hard, you're trying to pay the price for the price that has already been paid. You cannot pay that price. You cannot pay that price. The jar of manna, the tablets that are in the Ark of the Covenant, the rod of Aaron are all God's work. Because that Ark of the Covenant, in which those three prophetic realities were manifested, that Ark of the Covenant was called the Ark of the Testimony. Whose testimony? God's testimony. Was it Moses' testimony? Absolutely not. Was it Moses' testimony? Absolutely not. When he put those two tablets of the testimony into the Ark of the Covenant, where did he get those two tablets of the testimony? He received it. In the scripture it is written that the tablets of the testimony were written upon by the finger of God. In the scripture it is written that the tablets of the testimony were the work of God. That manna came down from heaven. The book of Revelation talks about the hidden manna. The hidden manna that reveals the name of God to us through Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. That rod of Aaron, what was it? It was a piece of wood that Moses held in his hand. And when God said, this is the rod that which will do the signs, that made it the rod of God, that's all. Until God spoke into it, it was just a piece of wood. Just like us. Before God spoke into us his word, what were we? Just dust from the earth. Withering away with time.
But the moment God spoke into us His word, we became creatures of the abiding, creatures of the eternal. We became creatures with promise. We became creatures with destiny. We became sons of God. Why? Because God spoke, that's all. Because we chose to respond in belief. Only believe and you will be saved. So that Ark of the Covenant, that Ark of the Testimony was also called as the Ark of God. Turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 6. Second Samuel chapter 6 verse 2. And David arose and went with all the people who were with him to Baal Judah to bring up from there the Ark of God, the Ark that belongs to God, which is called by the name, the very name of the Lord of hosts, Yahweh Sabaoth, who is enthroned above the cherubim. Amen. And this is prophetic expression, that the tablets of your heart that carry a witness of promise before God stand before the Lord of hosts at the speed of thought. That is what is so powerful about each and every one of us. That's why the Bible says you are fearfully and wonderfully made, because God has ordained that you can stand in such a position at the speed of thought, provided your thoughts are manifested in the fragrance of Jesus Christ. That's all. That is the only qualification for that position. You don't have to be an apostle to stand in that position. Hello. You don't have to be a prophet to stand in that position. You don't have to be a pastor to stand in that position. You only have to have the fragrance of Jesus Christ, and you are given high position before God. Isn't that good news? The Ark of God, which is called by the name, the very name of the Lord of hosts, who is enthroned above the cherubim. Verse 9. So David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, how can the Ark of God come to me? Prophetic sentence, prophetic question. How can the Ark of God come to me? Very simple. Have the fragrance of the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, and the Holy of Holies is open to you. At the speed of thought. That's what you call grace upon grace. Is it hard? No, it's not. Is it impossible? No, it's not. The devil has got no problems with the church talking about principle after principle after principle, because he knows you'll never make the grade anyway. He's got no problems with us expounding the word and expounding minute details of principle upon principle, because he knows you're just building a web over your own head. But the moment you start preaching Jesus Christ, he knows you have got something that he cannot control anymore. You are free. You have the way open to you. And all it takes is for your heart to have a fragrance. That's why simple people in simple situations and circumstances who don't know Hebrew and Greek can find God in amazing situations and circumstances. That has been the history of the Christian church. God has not dwelt amongst those who inhabit cathedrals and stand in so-called high offices wearing robes of all kinds of shapes and sizes. He has dwelt with people in simple situations and circumstances. They have known him. Why? Because of the fragrance of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Amen. How can the ark of the Lord of Yahweh come to me? Praise the Lord. Amen. Now let's turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Second Chronicles chapter 6 verse 14. Solomon prays, "Now, O my God, I pray thee, let thine eyes be open and thy ears attentive to the prayer offered in this place. Now therefore arise." What is that place, guys? That place is a temple. You are a temple. And Solomon is asking, "O God, let your eyes be open to the prayer offered in this place." So if you offer that prayer in the fragrance of Jesus Christ, God's eyes will open to the place that is in you. "Now therefore arise, O Lord God, to thy resting place." Might. So this ark of God is called the ark of his might. Listen to this. These tablets, which are basically manifested, are a manifest prophetic manifestation of your heart and the witness that you carry in your heart, is placed in the ark of God's might. Psalm 91 verse 1 says that you are tabernacled in the secret place of the Most High God, under the shadow of the Almighty. That's the place God has given you. What is this ark of the might? What is this ark of his might? We see this word might used in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 18, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might." Whose might? The Father's might, "which he brought about in Christ." So how is the strength of God's might manifested? He brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. So what is this Ark of the Covenant? It is the name of Jesus. The Ark of the testimony of Jesus, which is the spirit of prophecy. The Ark of the Covenant, the Ark that is manifested in blood covenant in your heart. The ark of God's name. Jesus said in John 17 verse 6, "Father, I manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world." The ark of his might. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead and invested with resurrection power in the strength of the Father's might. So that is the name of Jesus. That's why access into the Holy of Holies is in the fragrance of Jesus Christ from the altar of your heart. Nothing else. If you fast and pray, what enables you to realize what comes out of the Holy of Holies is the fragrance of Jesus Christ, not the act of fasting and praying. It is because we focus on the act of fasting and praying that we turn out to be religious creeps who are so self-righteous. If we understood that we are standing in the Holy of Holies because of the fragrance of Jesus Christ, we will never boast about what we have done. We will boast in the Lord. That's why so many of us who hold high office keep tumbling down. Because instead of giving glory to God, we give glory to ourselves. We keep boasting about our achievements to people so that people will be impressed with us instead of being impressed with the Lord. If you are raised to high office, you are just the first fruits of a whole work God wants to manifest in the entire church. Of what use is it if you and I just stand there as the only ones? What is it going to achieve? How much can you do as an only one? We have to bring the church into that reality. We need the millions that are in the Christian church to rise into that reality and occupy the place that God wants us to occupy, because there is work for every one of those millions of people. We need them all there. So when we build the church of Jesus Christ, what are we building? Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 13, after talking about the fivefold ministry, verse 12 talks about the fivefold ministry that is designed to equip the saints for the work of ministry, to the building up of the body of Christ. What are we building? The body of Christ. And how do we build the body of Christ? Verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. What is the church built on? One thing, brothers, the knowledge of the Son of God, nothing else. It's not about whether we have chandeliers here and have crystal palaces that shine with the millions of dollars we have invested in it. That's rubbish. And of the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Jesus Christ. Nothing else is the measure of a man. Nothing else is the measure of the man except the fullness of Jesus Christ. Verse 15, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into what, guys? To become better prayer warriors, to become better worshipers, to become better pastors, to become better apostles, to become better prophets. No, brothers. We are to grow up into all aspects into Him. Into Him. He is the measure of the prophet. He is the measure of the believer. He is the measure of the sons of God. He is the measure of the prayer warrior. He is the measure of the worshiper. Not the anointing. Not the gifting. Not the office. We worship all of those things. Who is the head, even Christ. He is the head. And if He is the head, then authority flows to us. So entry into the Holy of Holies is the fragrance of Jesus Christ. That is the prophetic expression we are working in this ministry. From whom the whole body, you see, the whole body functions from Him. From Him, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies. You see, everyone draws from Jesus and everyone supplies what comes out of Jesus towards each other. In the end, everything is filled with Jesus and Jesus and Jesus and Jesus. The stronger we become, the more of Jesus we have. That's all. Our strength is entirely Jesus Christ. Our strength is not balance sheets and how many PhDs sit in our presbytery? Whether we know Greek and Latin and Hebrew. According to the proper working of each individual part. You see, God is concerned with every one of us working. And how do we work right? If the fragrance of Christ Jesus comes out of your heart, you're working right. It's not based on whether you're doing big things or small things. It's entirely based
on the fragrance of Jesus Christ. Because if the fragrance of Jesus Christ is manifested inside of that, God can change you in the twinkling of an eye into a higher plane. There is no problem. If you and I can manifest from the altars of our heart the fragrance of Jesus Christ, God can change us in the twinkling of an eye into high offices. That's no problem. So don't despise the day of small beginnings. Don't think that because you don't have a pulpit ministry, your life is insignificant. It is of great, great, great significance. Why? Because it is invested with the blood of the Lamb. According to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That is love. The Son expressed is love. Love is not an emotion. If we measure church growth by our emotions towards each other, we are not going to last very long, brother. Because those emotions are eminently breakable. Just look at your own home and you will know that. Huh? It has to be infused with the name of Jesus. It has to be infused with the testimony of Jesus. That is love. The testimony of Jesus is love expressed. The fragrance of Jesus Christ is the only expression of love. That's why the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, if you give your whole body to be burned and you have not love, it means nothing. Hello. Praise the Lord. So we've talked about something. Prophetic expression is meant for every one of us. The moment you enter into the body of Christ, you are part of a destiny that God has designed for you in the merits of the Lamb. That's what this message is all about. And for that destiny to unveil, you have to manifest the fragrance of Jesus Christ. So we have worship, not because the Father needs us to worship Him, but because God says, unless you worship me, I cannot manifest myself. And if I can't manifest myself, you will die. Hello. Because God is life. If he doesn't manifest himself, where is the life going to come from? And if he doesn't manifest the life that is inside of him, what do you think is going to happen to turkeys like you and me? We're going to die, lads. Huh? What else can you think we're going to look forward to? You don't have to be a double PhD to understand that. We're all dying in our flesh. We don't want to die. I hope so. So when we worship the Lord because God's given us an opportunity to give expression to the fragrance of Jesus Christ. So when you play your instrument, when you worship, when you sing, even out of tune, doesn't matter. The important thing is what is coming from your heart, not musical notes. The fragrance of Jesus Christ. Worship Him. Worship Him with everything that is within you. Pray in tongues and ask for the fragrance of Jesus Christ to be manifested. Let him fill all in all. And you have access to the Holy of Holies at the speed of thought. Guys, it's not hard. Huh? We have taught a lot of nonsense about paying the price before you can get into the Holy of Holies. A bunch of nonsense. And we have kept the whole church out. For years I felt that I was never good enough because I kept measuring things from what I was doing. Instead of looking at what God calls the finished work of the cross. Why did Jesus die? So that you and I can have access to God. Why was the veil torn? So that access was given. Then we got religion into us. And we preached religion. measuring things in our own personal merits. And we kept the church out of the holy place. For centuries we did that. And so few went into the Holy of Holies. So few experienced God. So many were confined to doctrinal prescriptions and never went anywhere. Not because God was not ready to receive them, but because we were preaching falsehood. The times are a-changing. Bob Dylan said that. But they really are a-changing. These are the appointed times of the Lord. The trumpet is blowing. The Feast of the Trumpets was on the 7th month of the Jewish calendar. 7 representing perfection, 7 representing the process of being perfected. On the first day of the 7th month, the trumpets were blown. Prophetic timing. God is calling the church into the Holy of Holies. Those who will hear, those who have a ear to hear what the Spirit is saying, rise into what God has called you for. Do not look at yourself. Look at what God has given you in the Son. Look at the righteousness of your God and go forth and live the life that you have been given. Shall we pray? Father, we bless you for Jesus Christ. We bless you, Lord, that everything is opened in the way, the truth, and the life as we realize the I Am of Jesus Christ in our hearts. His fragrance is the passport that you have given us. His fragrance, O God, is the manifestation of the key of David, O God. His fragrance is what enables us to come before you. It is not processes that bring us before you. It is Jesus Christ Express. The purpose of every process of worship and prayer, preaching and counsel, O Lord, is to manifest the fragrance of Jesus Christ so that we will each find the way, the truth, and the life, so that we will each find that destiny that you have given us in the merits of the Lamb. Father, in the name of Jesus, enable us to see. Open our eyes. Open our ears that we will hear. Open our hearts that we will receive. That no longer will we come presenting our mediocrity before you, but everything that we will produce before you today, O God, will be, O God, of the fragrance of the Lamb. And as we celebrate Holy Communion today, Father, we want to declare, O God, we want, O God, that clarity and that conviction of the Holy Spirit that will enable us to remember the Master so that His fragrance will be the memorial testament of the altar of our heart, so that everything that comes before you will be the incense and fragrance of Jesus Christ. We ask this, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians, our communion passage. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, verse 1, verse 20. Chapter 1, verse 20, rather. 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 20. For as many as may be the promises of God, in Jesus Christ they are yes. Wherefore also by him is our amen to the glory of God through us. Amen. Verse 15, for we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved. Verse 14, thanks be to God who always leads us in his triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place, in every place. Amen. The knowledge of him, the fragrance of him is what we celebrate in these prophetic elements of bread and wine. Bread, substance. The bread of the holy, which is called the showbread, which is the bread of the presence. The bread of the most holy, which is the hidden manna that we just talked about. The hidden manna of the name. The hidden manna of the word that stands glorified according to all of God's name. That's the word. With that word, God will build into you tablets of hearts of his flesh, the flesh of the Lamb, so that you will have the rod of God alive in you as a witness, the true and faithful witness, the beginning of the creation of God. We will talk about that next week, okay, as we continue this subject of prophetic expression. So as we celebrate Holy Communion, God is telling us that this Passover is eminently personal to all of us. This Passover is an expression of the glory of God's grace. Amen. So whether you are 85 years old or whether you are 17 years old, right? There is, right, an amazing reality of God's grace that is available to you. So as we celebrate Holy Communion, we are celebrating the glory of God's grace. Amen. And we are a blessed people. Amen. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we want to bless you and thank you, O God, for your grace and your mercy. We want to bless you and thank you, O God, for what you have bequeathed to us in the name of Jesus. We want to bless you and thank you that the purpose of the testimony of Jesus is so that we can give expression to a fragrance of him from our hearts. And with that fragrance of him, O God, the Holy of Holies is open to us so that we can become the prophetic people you have designed us to become as sons of God. And all of us are eligible in the merits of the Lamb. All of us have the potentials of manifesting the fragrance of Jesus Christ. All of us have the potentials of realizing, O God, functionality by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. For this reality, Father, we thank you that this is your perfect will. And as we celebrate this communion, as we celebrate the reality of this Passover, we are celebrating our Passover into the Holy of Holies in the fragrance of Jesus Christ. The fragrance that is designed to be manifested in substance, and the fragrance that is meant to be manifested in a living witness from our hearts. We thank you that we celebrate this awesome expression of what you have given us on the cross, Father. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we bless you that you so loved us that you gave us your Son. For indeed, O God, there is no other blessing in the universe except the blessing of the Son, Lord. So we ask you to bless and sanctify, therefore, these elements of the bread and wine, that there will be a prophetic expression of his fullness manifested to us in a living fragrance by the Holy Spirit. We pray for this fragrance to be manifested from the altars of our heart in the substance of the Master's fullness and in the witness in spirit, water, and blood. We ask for this fragrance to continuously come forth from each one of us in conscious, subconscious, and unconscious terms so that we will always be before you in the merits of the Lamb. We ask this, Father, by the Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen.